welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk to the Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz, and get the latest update from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Each January, we celebrate the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King's courage and determination to peacefully fight racism, oppression, and violence changed the course of history during the Civil Rights Movement of the 1950s and 60s. Like any great leader, Dr. King knew the importance of unifying people to accomplish one common goal. The collective progress made during the Civil Rights Movement positively influenced the policies and behaviors of our nation over the decades that followed. The Minnesota National Guard strives to uphold Dr. King's legacy by ensuring soldiers and airmen from all walks of life enjoy the benefits of equality and diversity. By doing this, we honor a life dedicated to making our nation a better place.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Tim Walz is Minnesota's 41st governor. His career has been defined by public service, from serving our country in the military to serving our students as a high school teacher and a football coach, and to serving our state in Congress. And Governor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Great to have you back in the studio, sir.
Well, it's great to be back, and Happy New Year to you, Tom.
Happy New Year to you, sir. We want to spend a little time today to look back at 2019, your first year in office as governor and commander-in-chief. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about those things that are coming up. I know you're in a bonding session this year, and we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. But the last time you were in the studio, I think you were in Congress, and we were talking about the veterans issues that you were pushing out there. And of course, I was teasing you. I think we made the statement that Sergeant Major was a higher rank than a congressman. I apologize for that, sir. But now you're the commander in chief.
Well, it was true about Congress. No, that's right. This one certainly feels good, and I certainly am grateful to people in Minnesota to give me the opportunity to serve as governor. I talked about one of the reasons I wanted to do it is that I was, like so many, I think, of your listeners, just incredibly frustrated with politics that ground to a halt, that became to seem so partisan. And you and I talked often about this. I talked about the VA committee being a place where that didn't happen. My good friend, who was then chairman when I was the ranking member, Phil Rowe, I just talked to him here a week or so ago. He's going to retire after this year, and he kind of talked about how he's frustrated. He thinks it's gotten worse. A lot of folks who were getting some things done didn't stay, but I wanted to come back here to get things done, and I think 2019 proved in Minnesota we could do that. We had the only divided legislature in the country, a Democratic House and a Republican Senate. This was the first time in 41 years a governor didn't have to issue a veto. We finished a budget that invested in things that I think all of us cared about, and we're in as strong as fiscal health as any state in the nation. We have a record number of reserves for rainy day and those investments. I think that part of it was, to me, very gratifying. We saw a new veterans cemetery open in Duluth that absolutely beautiful. If any of your listeners have not been there yet, it is a final resting place that that truly lives up to the dignity of where it should be. We're going to see some new veterans homes come online, and we launched an initiative pretty unprecedented in the country for a state our size of reducing and eliminating veterans homelessness. As I speak today, we're at 292. And when we say functionally reducing, it means if someone falls into homelessness, a veteran, they're only there for less than 30 days, and we find permanent housing. Last year alone, we placed 530 veterans, about double any other year. So the word's getting out. And when I say the word's getting out, that's landlords helping us with HUD VASH vouchers. That's folks who getting folks off the streets. And then, of course, there was some tragedy in 2019, the loss of our Blackhawk on December 5th. And Warrant Officers Rogers and Nord and Candidate Blantenberg were, that's when it really came home to me what it meant to be Commander-in-Chief, too. I understood it as a veteran and understood it serving, but to lose someone who's under your command is pretty heartbreaking. And so I can say this, the response from the state was exactly what you thought it would be, overwhelming. Those services filled high school gymnasiums, Howard Lake, across the state up to St. John's. And just to know that in a country that sometimes feels like we're strained against family, brother against brother, there's still a space of unity, and it's around veterans, it's around that service. So I think overall 2019, we changed the tone. We got some things done. We compromised, and I don't see that as a dirty word. We put veterans as a forefront. We launched some big initiatives, especially around this homelessness piece, and our military responded. And as we speak now, you know they're deployed.
They're always deployed, have been for quite some time, sir. Governor, we're speaking with Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Governor, it was always refreshing when you were in Congress to come and hear you say that when it came to veterans issues, the both parties came together. And recently we had some state legislatures on, senators and representatives, and it was out at the Armed Forces Service Center that just opened up a new facility, and they came together to support that. That's a private facility. It's not part of the USO, and they moved into a great big new facility. Great. And they can really take better care of our veterans traveling through town now.
Yeah, I remind veterans of this to understand that the responsibility and the power they have to unite us about getting this right. And I can tell you, we had Democrats and Republicans in the other day to talk about an initiative on veterans homelessness, working with Director Kelly, and they're unified together. And it's, I think those of us who are in public service, I didn't get into this to fight with somebody. I didn't get in to win an argument. I wanted to make a difference. And I think when we can find that space, and veterans tend to do that. So I think in Minnesota, you're seeing that. I will say this, our young folks are still enlisting at record numbers. And I think that speaks volumes, certainly about their generation. But I think it's always that thing that President Lincoln and President Washington both warned us about. If you don't take care of the veterans, it's very hard to get people in. They're going to know. And, so I think we're doing it right.
And Governor, it's great to see here in Minnesota, it's not only you, it's the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it's the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, it's MACV.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many organizations pulling together to try to eliminate veterans homelessness. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of the rest of the country's watching, too. And I have to tell you, I think there's some of that military discipline that's a part of this. I think there is some vision that comes out of that. I think there's potential that this goes into homelessness in general, because we don't want to see anybody on that, but we're focusing on our veterans. This issue of homelessness, and once the recession pulled us back from housing, we've seen some cities that I think may have crossed a tipping point that it's hard to come back from. We can't allow that to happen here. And if we can prove it, that this works with veterans, we can keep moving on.
And Governor, we've learned some lessons. You try to figure out what caused the homelessness, and let's cure those issues.
Amen.
Let's get them back on their feet. Let's get them back working again, and give them a door and a place to call home.
Amen. And yeah, and if you need folks, and if it's a substance abuse issue, or if it's a job issue, or if it's a counseling issue, whatever it might be, that's right. Just giving someone a home without the tools to be able to maintain that home and the lifestyle that they want, that's not good enough. I think we know that here. And as you said, those partners like MACV and others, we wouldn't do it without them. And that's, I think, a very Minnesota thing that we pulled together.
And Governor, I know another one of the things that's on your mind is veteran suicide. The rates are too high, and we have people that know how to help. There's the Director Kelly, who's coming on later in the show. He's got people out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center that know how to help and know how to help cure those things that are causing someone to be depressed or think about some mental health issues.
Yeah, and when people hear that the 20 veterans a day or whatever, you have to individualize it and personalize it. But the interesting thing is about 15 of those are never seen in the VA. If they can get into the VA, our rate of being able to keep them from doing that is much higher. So I can't agree more. And I have to tell you, the president's administration has prioritized this. President Trump's administration has prioritized veteran suicide. It's something that I worked on as a member of Congress. They have continued that in a very robust way. I think that's what you're seeing and has the potential to really work.
Federal VA is working on that, and we're working on it hard here in Minnesota. And what I've learned, Governor, is to watch your veterans. If you see them depressed, if you see them change their behavior, reach out for help, because help is available.
Yeah, and I think we've took the stigma away from this. We understand that these are wounds of war. We understand that this is not a weakness. And helping one of your brothers or sisters that are in trouble is absolutely needed. And we know that peer-to-peer work is actually the most successful way to prevent these. That's what a lot of the new training goes to.
So keep watching, reach out for help. Governor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about some initiatives for 2020 that is on your busy schedule. Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz, on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, you had a busy first year in office. Are you starting to get into a rhythm now in the second year, a little kind of a battle rhythm?
Yeah, I think so. And that's the way I described it, too, Tom. I talked to my team about a battle rhythm, understanding what's out there. And a lot of it is doing things, I think, a little bit differently, getting out, like, bonding, asset preservation, capital investments. The state owns all these buildings. They own the roads, the bridges and things. How do you keep them up? And one of the things is that I want to listen to local folks. So we visited over 108 communities, 600 events, public events that we were doing out there. And that's really helped, I think, get into the groove. And now we feel like last time I was elected, you have the swearing in, you got to get a budget done. It's all just bang, bang, bang.
First session.
Hire all your commissioners, first session. And there's a lot of politics. Now it feels more like, able to lead, able to manage, and we have time to set this up.
And Governor, I understand you're in the thick of it this year. It's the bonding session.
It is. And to your listeners, what this really matters, as I said again, if your biggest asset for most of us is our house, to keep that asset up, you have to replace the roof once in a while or replace the windows or mow the yard or fix a leaky faucet. And the way you do that is the state has the capacity to be able to bond for that, just like any business does, meaning you can leverage your cash to get more out of it. It's like home equity loan, where we're at historically low interest rates, about 1%. When the requests came in from local entities, it's about $5.3 billion, and that excludes highways. The University of Minnesota alone over 20 years is going to need about $7.1 billion to keep their assets up. So we go out, we prioritize these. You can't do them all. You have to do the things that come in as a priority. We focused around things like public security and public safety, water, housing, those types of infrastructure pieces, and then education for our students. And this is one of the things that I think people agree on. It's one of the things that the legislator has to decide on. And this is a unique thing. This requires a 3/5 vote. 60%. So you've got to get Democrats and Republicans to agree, which I kind of like that idea that we're not all going to get the projects we want. I say this, though, the projects that I put in my bonding proposal, my local jobs projects, came from the mayors, came from the National Guard, came from the communities.
Governor, here in Minnesota, we've got an organization called the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and you've appointed Commissioner Larry Herkey. Of course, you knew him from your military days, and he's over there doing some great stuff, not the least of which is working on building three new veterans homes. But part of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, they take care of programs and services, but they also take care of the homes. And you've got some maintenance on those homes, and you've got some campus security issues out there.
No, that's right. And again, those are the one thing I want to make sure your listeners who are very savvy about this is that we needed this expansion. These veterans homes are a real gem that we have. But I made the pledge, and I've talked to legislators about this, don't neglect the ones we have. And these are aging homes out in Laverne, up in Fergus Falls, Minneapolis, of course, putting some money into those. And then the campus security piece of this is making sure, if it's some memory issues, that we have the capacity to make sure that these are closed campuses so we can keep people safe. And just some of the safety things that need to happen at doors of people coming in, making sure that we're modernizing. And so we put that, we put some resources into the bonding bill to make sure that we don't lose these assets.
So part of that is keeping the promise with our veterans when they're in those homes. We've got to take care of them and take care of them the best way we can.
That's right. And I think, there'll be a robust discussion about what we should spend money on. Always should be. Is it the best use of taxpayer dollars? I think the good news always is we can get quite a bit of agreement on this, that these are things that help our veterans and it's a promise we need to keep.
And Governor, there's another side of the house that's called the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. It's headed up by our Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And of course, he's one of your cabinet members. And they've got facilities all over the state. Some of them are very old. You've been to a lot of those facilities in your career.
I have. Yes, 60 years old in some cases, like out in Marshall. We've got 13,000 soldiers, airmen and women, fifth largest National Guard. I would argue, seeing it from the congressional side and being on armed services, probably one of, if not the most respected fighting force in the National Guard. They've got a dual mission. They have state flooding, We're down in Austin last year, and when we got folks stranded on the roads, we use them for blizzards. I hope we don't need it tomorrow, but we may. And so those facilities are far more than just training centers. They're community centers that are used for that dual mission purpose. They are used, and we're asking our warriors to deploy, as you said, continuously for the last 19 years, putting them in harm's way, asking them to not have classroom space to be able to train adequately or to be able to store and clean their equipment, that's not acceptable. And we have four of these projects that the National Guard has prioritized. I'm going to ask the legislature to fund them all to make sure that those get done. And that's just once again about security in the community, security for the state mission, and keeping our promise that those warriors have the best place to train. And then these facilities end up being used for daycare facilities. They're rented out. I used to coach basketball with middle school kids, and we would practice at the Armory in Mankato.
And Governor, we've talked about this on the show many times, but the National Guard has a dual mission. One is the federal mission to deploy around the world when needed, and the other one is the state mission to be called out for blizzards and floods.
Yep.
And you have the ability to, as Commander-in-Chief, to call them when needed. And, of course, you're working with your folks at Homeland Security to manage all of that. And we're blessed with a wonderful training facility up in Camp Ripley, but there are some 60 armories out there, and some of them need help. And I understand the Rosemont Readiness Center, there's a design issue.
There is. It leaks. It leaks pretty badly where the gymnasium, the roof comes, and Rosemont is the headquarters, 34th Division. It's huge. It has hundreds and hundreds of folks in there every weekend, the way it's being used. It doesn't have a fire alarm system in it as it stands right now, which is unbelievable to me, but that's the situation we're in. The HVAC system is obsolete, and it's just time to do this. And I know everybody, I'm the same way, that I would rather buy a new truck than put windows in my house, but you have to. And if you don't do it, your credit rating starts to drop, the asset that you have starts to drop, and future, we can't pass this on to future generations. I was down in the sewers last week on Friday underneath 90 foot under Minneapolis. That storm sewer system, miles and miles, labyrinth of tunnels that can absorb massive rainfall. And it has to now because we're seeing rainfalls increase. That's 100 years old in some cases. A catastrophic failure of that would absolutely destroy downtown Minneapolis. And you can't wait till it collapses. You can't wait till a sinkhole happens. You can't wait till you get 8 inches of rain with nowhere to go except blowing manhole covers off. So I'm making the same case. These armories, these assets, they're absolutely critical to state and national security. We need to keep them updated.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, when you're pulling together this massive bonding bill and taking that over to the legislature, now you've got to deal with the Democrats and the Republicans. And is the correct way to take a look at each of these projects and decide which ones are really important and which of them are urgent,
yeah,
which of them we have to take care of now?
Yeah, I think it's a good way. That's what we did. We didn't even fund half of them, obviously. And I don't think folks sent in anything that wasn't critical to them. We created a rubric with a scoring system of does it meet these requirements? Is it there? Is it fiscally responsible? And then put that together. I think that's exactly the right way. And I think that's what your listeners and taxpayers expect us to do. The one thing that's a little frustrating to me is when people say, well, we just can't do it. Don't just say we can't do it based on the money. Understand what's in there, what it means to say no to these things. Now, you may need to say that, and we may need to say, you know, right now, we can't do this one, but this one reaches a priority. So I'm asking the legislature to do what we did. This is the first time the governor's ever done a bonding tour, ever. I visited countless communities. I walked through these projects myself to look at them and then to make the case, because I've got to be able to look taxpayers in the eye and say, why are you putting this money into Fergus Falls Armory? Well, because this is the number of troops who are there. We now have female troops, but we have no place for them to have separate shower facilities and separate training facilities. There is no place up there for them to do their physical fitness training and tests that has changed now with the military. Those are the types of questions I need to answer.
Governor, on your bonding request, we're talking about the Rosemont Readiness Center, Moorhead, Marshall, and Fergus Falls. You know, it appears to me, I'm not a politician, but I'm a businessman, and I know that 2 years from now, these projects are going to cost more money than
yes,
they cost today. And today, we've got historically the lowest interest rates we've had in our careers.
That's right.
So what's the argument for delaying?
I'm not certain yet, and that's for me to make the case. I really am not, because I understand this, and trust me on this. We need people in government who are super fiscally conservative. We had a $400 billion deficit the last quarter, not for the year, for the quarter, $500 billion. That is unacceptable. States cannot deficit spend, but states can bond responsibly. What I'm telling folks is now is the time to do this. We all know you're a business person, Tom. We have a great bull market run here of about 12 years. It's going to be nobody's fault and no president to blame, but the market is going to at some point kind of correct itself.
And interest rates are going to go up.
And interest rates are going to go back up. And deficits make interest rates go back up. So it makes sense to me that we get ahead of the curve on this. We start removing some of this big, long queue of things that need to be done, and then talk to people. Like you said, we did something. We put all these on the internet and asked. You can go and click on each one of these and make a comment on these projects. I encourage your listeners to go out there and say, hey, I live in Fergus Falls, and I'm telling you, either this needs to be done or doesn't need to be done. That helps inform us.
So for our listeners, take a look at some of these issues and contact your elected officials and let them know what you think. But keep in mind, it's only going to get more expensive if we delay it. Governor, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about your second year in office, sir?
Well, I'm honored to do it. I think the expectation is to keep the drama out of this, work together. And I think, again, I would just say thank you to all the veterans who are out there and to the families who have warriors in. This state produces and sends more folks into the military than almost any other. They're a great fighting force, both our full-time force and our National Guard and Reserve. It's something we have to be really proud of. I would say that all of us in elected office conduct ourselves with the same dignity they conduct themselves in the military, and we'll be fine.
Governor, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. Look forward to coming back.
That was Governor Tim Walz. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get the latest from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system with Director Pat Kelly. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday as a national day of service. This milestone is a perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all. His vision was to create the beloved community. Dr. King encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of the beloved community. Volunteer at a veteran's home, at one of the VA hospitals, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Patrick Kelly, a retired United States Navy captain and director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system since June 2013. Director Kelly, welcome back to the studio. Good to see you.
Tom, it's good to be back. Boy, have I been in this job since June of 2013? Well, I'm having a lot of fun.
That's what my paperwork says. I think we figured out a few months ago that you've been on the show, I don't know how many times in the last 6 years, but we've been able to tell a lot of good stories.
Well, you've been good enough to have me on the show, but more importantly, you get all of our good doctors and nurses and researchers and others on the show. So we are, of course, very much indebted to you for the help you've done for us, and congratulations on just having recently completed your 500 show.
Well, thank you, Director. I want to talk a little bit about your career in the Navy. You spent most of your career in the Navy taking care of our sailors and our servicemen in hospitals.
Yeah, so my work in the Navy, now I retired in 2011, but my work similar to the work that I do in the VA. Of course, the great thing about being in the military and the Navy, I had 29 years of service. I had the opportunity to serve in a lot of different areas, overseas, operational, hospitals, Pentagon. But, you know, it was very rewarding work. And one of the reasons I like working for the VA is I'm still feel pretty connected to the military and service members.
Taking care of veterans from all the services now, and a lot of them at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
So we have about 105,000 veterans who get their care with us, but we also have about a third of our staff who are veterans. So it's, again, it's a good connection. We just recently hired a master chief who's in charge of our patient advocacy program, and a lieutenant colonel who's in charge of our public affairs. So we stay pretty connected with the military.
And excuse me, director, and we found out that your director of nursing was someone that you served with in the military.
Helen Perlman, my director of nursing, was 28 years of active service. She and I deployed together in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, where she was my chief nurse. And when we served in San Diego, she was my assistant chief of staff. So she and I have been connected for many, many years in the Navy. And she's been at the Minneapolis VA for almost 10 years now. It's good serving with people I've known from the military.
So you've got quite a team out there, and part of the team that we don't talk about too much is you've got your own chaplain corps out there and a nice chapel.
You know, we do mass, Catholic mass, a couple times a day, and we have other services for all denominations and types. And so, yeah, we have Catholic chaplains and Jewish chaplains and Muslim leaders and religious personnel. So we recognize that spirituality is an important part of taking care of veterans, and our staff get the benefit of that too.
And director, you know I'm a patient out there, and I come out for quarterly blood draws, and I've figured out if I get there at 7:20, at 7:30, there's a little Catholic mass, and then I go get my blood draw, maybe get some eggs, and then go back to work. It's a great way to start the day.
All right.
Director, I want to talk a little bit about 2019. We've seen a lot of construction out there over the years. You and I have talked about the parking ramp that was built over there, and you built a walkway to get over to the hospital, and you've remodeled some clinics. And did you have a pretty good year under that hard hat in 2019?
Yeah, so we have, our hospital was open in 1988, and you know, it's still a pretty modern VA hospital. Many, many VA hospitals were sort of World War II vintage, 1946, 1947. But our hospital, 1988 era, we have been fortunate that we continue to get upgrades and constructions and renovation projects. And so we did some good projects in 19, and we'll keep doing them in 20. We don't have any planned, sort of large replacements of our community-based clinics, but we have continued money to do appropriate and necessary research and construction to take care of veterans.
You need to do a lot of maintenance to keep that facility up to snuff for all of those veterans that come visit you.
You know, when it was opened, it was the second largest building in the state of Minnesota. Of course, now surpassed by the Mall of America and many other buildings in our state. But it takes a lot to just keep it going. We have a great organic engineering staff and things generally work, but it's a result of a lot of good attention to detail and upgrades and renovations that keep the place working for veterans.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, can you tell me, I've forgotten now, I'm sorry, you've got community clinics that you also oversee. How many are there, and did some of them change locations in 2019?
So we have 13 clinics, four of which are in the state of Wisconsin, nine in Minnesota, ranging from Ely in the north to Albert Lea in the south. So this year, we changed over a couple of our clinics to VA staffed clinics. So the clinic in Albert Lea or in Hibbing and Ely converted to VA staff clinics. We are in the process of converting our Albert Lea and Shakopee clinics to VA staff clinics. They will also change locations. They'll be in those same cities, but they will change to VA staffed. And one of the things we've heard from veterans over the years is that they like clinics. Well, we've had some very, very capable contractors running some of our clinics. We've had up to six contracted clinics. They like VA staff clinics, and it gives us some flexibilities. And so we are in the process of transitioning our clinics to VA staffed, and this year it'll be Albert Lea and Shakopee.
Director, we've talked on and off over the years how technology has changed the practice of medicine, and for our veterans, they can go online and they can order up their prescriptions. They can go online, they can contact their doctor or nurse, and now I understand even from some of your outpatient clinics that they can be hooked up visually with a doctor from the Minneapolis Medical Center.
Yeah,
things have really changed.
Well, telehealth is something that is very much developed in healthcare. In the world, we have the advantage of we don't have to worry about reimbursement or issues like that. And so there are very few disincentives. So we, in all of our community-based clinics, we will do primary care mental health and a lot of telehealth for things ranging from dermatology to sleep studies. We do all kinds of things via telehealth so veterans don't have to get on the road and drive to Minneapolis.
But here in Minnesota, we also have some good partnerships with the veteran service organizations, and I know the DAV is in particular worked with all the rest of them from the Commander's Task Force, but they've put a lot of vans in place so that we can get our veterans to their medical appointments with volunteer drivers.
Yeah, the number of volunteer hours is just staggering. I mean, I don't have it here in front of me, but the number of drivers, the number of hours, the reach that they have, because transportation is frequently an obstacle for veterans. You know, if they can't get to their appointment, they're not going to get what they need. And so the DAV is an unbelievable partner, as are the other service organizations who have supported us with volunteer hours, with donations in kind, with a whole variety of support services to our hospital. We're very fortunate in our state. Our service organizations are first rate.
And, Director, we've also learned over the years that you work closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, MACV, on the homeless issues. Your doctors are helping with suicide prevention. There's all of these organizations here in Minnesota seem to be hooked up and working together for the common good.
Yeah, our governor, I can't say enough good things about how he has sort of elevated veterans issues in our state. And so as he was very committed as a congressman and as a governor, he has worked with us, not as you mentioned, with homeless programs and governor's challenge with respect to suicide issues. And so it really does require a partnership. And Governor Walz is unbelievably engaged with us in support of veterans.
Director, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I'd like to talk about some of your priorities for 2020. We're speaking with Director Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And, Director, we talked to the governor earlier today, and he had a couple of priorities that he's been working on. One of them is to eliminate veterans' homelessness, and another one is to lower the rate of veteran suicide. And you've been working closely with the governor on both of those issues, and I know you've been working on those issues for years.
Yeah, the two are really important issues to us. And so our role a lot of times in the homelessness issue is that we bring a lot of federal resources. And so we have 1,000 vouchers that we have and we can provide to veterans who are at risk for homelessness. And we hire a social worker for every 25 veterans who are engaged in our homeless programs. And so we will take those veterans to the store. We'll help them with education. We will help them with employment. We will help them with their landlord. And so we haven't fixed the problem yet. We've made good progress on the problem, but the state has brought their registry, which has been very, very helpful in making sure that we've identified every veteran at risk, and then we can engage with them, Common Bond, and a whole variety of other community partners, because it is really a lot of people involved in this work in our state.
And we're making some progress on that, according to General Lloyd Olton, and getting a lot of people, a lot of veterans off the street. But, Director, there's a second issue, and you and I have talked about this before, and that's suicide prevention. And the one thing that I remember from all these discussions is watch your veteran. If there's a veteran in your family, if they're depressed, if their mood has changed, if their personality has changed, ask them if they're experiencing a problem. And if they are, you've got the people out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital that can help.
Yeah, there are many, many resources, but I think your point, Tom, about engaging people, there's a rumor, it's thought that if you engage people, you're going to increase their risk. That's just not the case. So if people are struggling, help them through it, and we have same-day access for mental health services at RVA. There's a national hotline that people can call, the Veterans Crisis Line, if they need to talk to somebody. There are vet centers in our state where veterans can go, but there are a variety of resources, and I would encourage you to people, your listeners, to help those veterans, because sometimes you're struggling and you're not making good decisions and you really need someone to help you to get to that next place.
So don't ignore it. Ask the question and reach out for help, because we know how to help those veterans. And let's lower the rate of veteran suicide in 2020. Director, I want to ask you about construction. Are you wearing your hard hat again this year?
we'll have the hard hat out again this year. So we have a couple things going on this year, Tom. So we just recently opened up a new mental health outpatient area and are engineering a new inpatient mental health area. So, you know, in our state, the state of Minnesota, we need more mental health services, beds, support services. And so we are expanding that, recognizing that a lot of veterans have mental health needs that we can address. And since there are not a lot of community resources, we do that internally. And so, again, new outpatient clinic, more providers, more hospital beds. We're also converting all of our inpatient beds to single bed rooms. So if you come to the Minneapolis VA and if you have the misfortune of being an inpatient in a hospital or in our hospital, you'll get good care, but sometimes you're put in a room with two or three other veterans. And the community standard really is to have private rooms. So we are in a three-year project to convert all of our rooms from two single bedrooms. We have a lot of single rooms now, but single bedrooms, that's a project that we're doing over the course of the next several years. We'll get started next year.
And, Director, there are more and more women serving in the military these days, and I understand that you've got a project coming up to build a new women's clinic.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So if for those of you who are familiar with our VA hospital, when you come into the main entrance on the left-hand side, there's a grassy area. What you're going to see starting in this next year is a brand-new building. That's going to be our Women's Health Center. Separate entrance for women veterans. We're going to have imaging services out there. Many of the services that women veterans need in that clinic. And again, it's dedicated to our women veterans, who are a growing and increasingly important segment of our VA population, our veteran population.
It's great to hear, sir. We're speaking with Patrick Kelly, the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, there was a new federal act called the Mission Act. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, I'd love to, Tom. Thanks. So 6 June of this year, the Mission Act, which was really intended to sort of expand veterans' opportunities to seek community care in those places, in those cases where they're either a long distance from the medical center or a VA place of care, or the medical center just doesn't have enough capacity in a certain service, or the wait times are too long. So the VA Mission Act, most importantly, expanded that opportunity for veterans. It did other things. It created an urgent care benefit, so that if you're a veteran now, and you're having an issue that requires not necessarily an emergency room, but you need to be seen for an earache or a headache or something like that, you can go to one of the many, many urgent care centers, and it's free. You know, so it's an opportunity, especially if you're in a rural area where your clinic maybe is only open 8 to 4 and it's after hours or it's the weekend. That has really proven to be a good benefit for our veterans.
So, Director, is this a situation where you have to get permission, or can you just go get some help?
Great question, Tom. So if it's an urgent care visit, you just go. You just go get it, and then the company knows to bill the VA. And you even get pharmaceuticals along with that visit. So
you go to urgent care, tell them you're under VA care, and you get your care at the hospital and tell them that on the way in.
Yeah, tell them you're a veteran. Make sure that they're one of those places, and that information is available online for the veterans who want to go to our website and check and see. But there's a large network of urgent care centers, CVS and others, who will take care of veterans for that benefit after hours. And it's really a great benefit.
Yeah. Director, I know there's an awful lot of research that goes on out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center in conjunction sometimes with the University of Minnesota Hospitals.
Yeah, so a lot of our doctors and nurses and really the VA prides itself in the research that we do, usually related to maladies that affect veterans, like dementia or like prosthetic devices that are needed for our veterans who need some rehabilitative services, mental health research, a whole variety of research. And we've had, and I know you've had on your show, Tom, some of our very best researchers who've done research in opioid addiction, who've done research in effectiveness for flu vaccines and heart failure, all of which are intended really to make care better for veterans in the VA. And it's really one of the good ways that we are able to attract doctors and nurses, because in addition to the clinical work that they do, they like teaching. We have a big education mission. They like doing research, and we offer that to our providers. And we do some really groundbreaking, important research.
Director, a couple of the studies that I really enjoyed were the RINGS 1 and RINGS 2 studies, where we studied soldiers that deployed and their families, and looked for signs of who's going to experience some post-traumatic stress, who isn't, what causes that, what situations are most prevalent, and some of the fact findings there have been particularly important to the adjutant general to know how to help his troops.
Right. That was with our Minnesota National Guard, and so they were, our Dr. Melissa Paluzny conducted those studies, but it was intended just for that. You know, so when veterans are deploying, you want to make sure that they are prepared and that they come back in the best condition that they can be. So they're really resiliency studies. You know, it's to find out how we can make those service members more resilient, more successful, and minimize the impact of bad events that happens when you're on a deployment.
Director, we just got a couple of minutes left. I have to ask you the question, are you hiring?
We're always hiring. Thanks for asking me that. So, you know, between we have about 4,500 employees, and so between our clinics and our Minneapolis VA Medical Center, we are always looking for committed, dedicated doctors, nurses, support staff who want to work with veterans. And so, I appreciate the commercial. We always want to hire good people at the VA.
And Director, you've told me before that without the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers out there, you couldn't operate that medical center.
People wouldn't believe it. I mean, the people who go to the medical center will quickly, and the first thing they will see is a bunch of volunteers in red vests. So those are our first impression volunteers. We have 150 of them. We have 1,300 volunteers overall, but those, all of whom are doing very, very important work. But those red vest volunteers, they come to work no matter the weather conditions. They smile. They tell you where to go and help you get there. And they're unpaid, so they want to be there, and they are just an unbelievably great asset for our medical center.
And a lot of them are veterans themselves.
Almost all of them.
They do a great job. There's whenever I go out there to give blood, I go down there, and there's always a veteran sitting there helping people get registered and sorting things out. And they're everywhere. So it's fun. If you need any help, just ask one of those wearing a red vest, and they'll get you to the right place. Sometimes they'll walk you right over there.
They're a resource that are easily identifiable, and they are the answer people in our hospital.
Well, Director, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I wish you and everyone out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system a great 2020.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for your continued support.
Yes, sir. That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz, and Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet the Minnesota National Guard's new Command Sergeant Major and hear the story of a Minnesota Gold Star mother. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.